There's a covenant sweet. It was written for me. It's a promise that I could be healed from all my sin and my shame, even heartache and pain. It was signed and confirmed on a hill. So I rest my case at the cross. For now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified, satisfied. Oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. Don't feel sorry for me when you see I'm in need. There's a judge who grants mercy and love. All my burdens he lifts, all my sin he forgives. Every trial is won through his blood. So I rest my case at the cross. For now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified, satisfied. Oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. This covenant is binding by his blood and his word. Every time I'm in trouble, my case will be heard. I've been justified, satisfied. Oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross, the cross.
Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Give everyone an opportunity to read, or get there, and I'll do the reading. Y'all do the turning, and I'll do the reading, okay? I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Matthew chapter 13. It's good to be here, and it's good to be saved. Amen? Amen. Y'all saved and glad of it? Amen. All right. A whole lot better to be here and be in jail, isn't it? Amen. Unless I was preaching or whatever. Okay. Matthew 13, verse 1. What's the first word? That's it. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much fruit, or much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In these verses of Scripture, you see several prepositions, like this one. In verse 5, upon. Verse 7, among, and verse 8 and 2. Upon, among, and to. Progression there. So I want to preach for a while this morning on this subject. Just how deep are your roots? Just how deep are your roots? I'm talking about your spiritual roots, your spiritual life. Just how deep are your roots? Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, my, what a privilege it's been to be here on this beautiful morning, to be a part of the Sunday school hour, and for me to be able to sit and just enjoy hearing our choir and our congregation sing the old time hymns. Thank you for the good special number. But Lord, it's preaching time now. And Lord, I've read and I trust that you'd give me liberty as I preach today. Help me, Lord, to share the things that you placed upon my heart. I pray to you to allow the Holy Spirit to have liberty and free course in our service. May this be just exactly what we need today. And we're going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 13 of Matthew, I often label it the chapter of the parables. He gives several different parables to get his truth across. And he starts off by saying, a certain sower went forth to sow. Now, the spiritual application of that goes like this. That's what I'm doing right now. The seed here represents the Word of God. And at the present time, I'm the one doing the sowing, okay? I am the sower. Now, when you witness somebody, you're the sower. But always remember, the seed is the Word of God. It's also interesting to me that when we preach, we can expect one of four responses to our message. And we see that given here. One of four responses we'll get each time we preach or sow the Word of God. Also, by way of introduction, I want to say this. God has given us a lot of things in the Bible to keep us encouraged. You know why God's people get discouraged? Either they don't read the book or they don't believe the book. You say, preacher, you're discouraged? Not one iota. You know why? Because I read the book. I know exactly what to expect. Now, I got up this morning and I said, Lord, I want 100 in church today. Well, we didn't make the 100. Am I discouraged? No, I thank God for who's here. I'm thanking God for every person that is here, you know. Later I said, Lord, I forgot that this is weekend before school starts. Everybody going to get that last fling of vacation and so forth. I failed to take that in consideration, Brother Bill. But think about it, the Lord didn't remind me either. Amen. You know, so I just got... No, I am not discouraged because I have read the book and I've seen many, many instances in the Bible where God has put this in here to keep us from getting discouraged. And let me repeat it. If you get discouraged, it's because either you don't read the book or you don't believe the book. It's just that simple. For example, God called Jeremiah one time. He said, now Jeremiah, don't expect any results because you're not going to get any. So Jeremiah should not have got discouraged because God told him right up front. He forewarned him, said, don't expect any results. And he said, don't let their faces discourage you. So you know what I do? When I stand up to preach, I just look around over the congregation and I find three or four real smiley faces, and that's who I preach to. You know, if there's four or five sitting out there look like they've lost their best friend, I don't look that way the second time. Amen. Because why? I might get discouraged. God told Jeremiah, said, don't let their faces confuse you. Don't let their faces scare you. And he also told him this. The Lord said unto him, he said, pray not for this people for their good. He said, don't even pray for Israel. Because at this time, he said, they have gone beyond. And he said, I'm going to teach them a lesson. He said, now you go tell them that they're going to Babylon and they're going to spend 70 years in that foreign country. And that's exactly what happened. So God prepared him ahead of time what was going to take place. And so he said, Jeremiah, there's no need in getting discouraged. He said, I'll not hear their cry when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation. I'll not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. In another place, he said, the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife. So he said, don't even get married. Because, said, I don't want you to get married and have a bunch of kids that's going to wind up a bunch all with all these disobedient, backslidden Israelites that's going to Babylon, the far country. So, he outlined it for him. And so Jeremiah knew exactly what to expect. Also, I read in the New Testament when we get over there. For example, this ought to keep any preacher, and any Christian for that matter, from getting discouraged. Because I've read the book many, many times. He said, "Know also in the last days perilous times shall come." Well, we're there. So why should I look around at what's going on and go around with my chin so low I could scoop up dirt, amen? When the Bible's very clear that perilous times are going to come. He went on to say this, "Men shall be lovers of their own selves." God have mercy. Said there'd be covetous folks, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Well, we're seeing that among the youth all across America. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and without natural affection. Look at all this gay movement, homosexual movement, sodomites, queers, amen? Ain't nothing gay about that lifestyle. Everybody doing okay? All right, I'm going to start preaching here in just a little while. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means lack of self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, drugs, alcohol, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, that's happening, but God said it would. So I don't need to get discouraged when I see all these things taking place. I'm telling you, God has put enough in here to keep every preacher encouraged. So I'll start with this one. Preacher, talk to myself. Here's what I can expect when I preach the Word of God. First of all, some of the seed will fall by the wayside. The preached Word will not penetrate their hearts. The message will make no impression on them whatsoever. We see that often. I witness to folk almost on a daily basis. I've had folks say, "Well, you know, preacher, that's okay for you, but it's just not for me." Well, God already forewarned me that that's going to happen. That when you sow, some of it's going to fall by the wayside. You know, I grew up on a farm, and we'd be planting beans or cotton or corn or whatever, and the end row, you know what we call it, where you turn, you know, and so forth, and grain would inevitably just fall out, and it lay on top of the ground. And it lay there all summer long. But it never would germinate. Why? Because it's just by the wayside. It was on top of the soil rather than being beneath the soil. And all summer long, you could see it there. Or if you get a little sprinkle of rain, it might swell a little bit like Baptist on Wednesday night, amen? And like bullfrog in a hailstorm or something. But it never would produce anything by the wayside. Now, God has forewarned me that, preacher, when you preach, some folk, it's just not going to affect them at all. It's not going to penetrate their heart. You know what I call folk like that? Deep freeze folks. They're cold, calloused, and indifferent. And the preaching makes absolutely no impression on them whatsoever. This group falls victim to the influence of Satan. Now, I have a label for each one of these, okay? But this first group that has calloused, hard hearts, they fall victim to the influence of Satan. You say, why do you say that? Well, because the Bible says it. Luke 8, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. Right there it is. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So that's the group that falls prey and becomes a victim of Satan or the devil himself. When they hear the word, Satan comes and just rips it away from them. Don't pay attention to that preacher. You got plenty of time. You're young. You're energetic. You're going to live a long time. You got plenty of time to take care of spiritual things. Don't worry about that now, because after all, you got to make your big thing in the world. You got to do your own thing for a while. And so they listen to Satan. Not only that, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, in whom the god of this world, and that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's pulled the wool over your eyes, so to speak. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. These folk live in a deep freeze, cold and calloused. And then that brings us to the second group here. Some seed will fall on rocky ground. Now, the first group falls prey to Satan, but this is the group that falls victim to the flesh. In other words, superficial. On the surface, they appear to be genuine. You know, there are people that I'll be honest with you. You can fool me pretty easy. But not as easy as you used to. But we live in a generation of superficial Christianity. On the surface, everything appears to be okay. Appears to be genuine. But these folks, I'll label them like this. Those are folks who have as much fizz as a rocket on a launching pad, but they never get in orbit. They never blast off. Oh, they got a lot of fizz. They have a lot of zeal during special meetings. You have a special meeting. I mean, you can work and you can do everything you can, and you get a few folk in like that. Or you can have a special singing group come along. And boy, they'll come in and man, they get all wired up. Get all excited. I mean, they'll clap their hands. They'll pat their feet. Amen. They'll lift their hands. Glory. Hallelujah. But when they walk out the door, it's all over until the next special meeting. Everybody okay now? That's a superficial, on the surface kind of Christianity. The one that falls on rocky ground. They never, ever get any deeper than that. And it takes something special to excite them. Then when the special meeting or the special event's over, you never see them until another one comes along. I say these folks are kind of like burned out Roman candles. Amen? Or Alka-Seltzer. They pop in, fizzle out, and leave a bad taste. Alka-Seltzer. Superficial Christians, those that fall on rocky ground. But then that brings us to the number three place here. Some seed will fall among thorns. Now, I've read after no telling how many different commentators. I've talked to several different preachers. I've read after many preachers. A lot of them will say all of the first three are unsaved people. Then there are those who will say, well, the first two categories, the deep freeze kind and the superficial kind, are unsaved. And the last two are saved. Well, I kind of like that one. That's the position I take, okay? Those that fall by the wayside, deep freeze, cold, calloused, don't talk to me, preacher, I don't have time for that stuff, they're lost as they can be. Then you got that superficial kind. That takes something special, get them all excited. On the surface, they're okay, but there's nothing took place in here. But then you have some seed that falls among thorns. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of truly born-again people today that are living among thorns. Somewhere along the way, the thorns have sprang up. And the thorns have got them highly discouraged. And the thorns stifle their growth. Have you noticed in the New Testament how many times the writers challenges us to grow up? In fact, I guess the last words the Apostle Peter left us. He said, challenge us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul, but it doesn't make any difference who it was. It's inspired, amen. The writer of Hebrews says many folks wind up and remain babies in Christ. Now that means they're saved, but they're babies. Still wearing spiritual diapers. Never grow up. Why? Because they're never getting the word. Maybe come to church once or twice or three times a year. Maybe drift in on a Sunday morning, never come back on Sunday night, never come back on Wednesday night, never come for anything special, never read the Bible. They never grow. But if they trusted Christ, they're saved. They're just baby Christians. Now, to prove that, when I preach like that and classify some folks as baby Christians, you know what they do? I ain't no baby Christian. Makes me want to give them a pacifier. Amen. Hey, many times we expose ourselves as baby Christians. Just by the way we act. Amen. Everybody still with me? Many times we expose what level we're on just by the way we act. sometimes make you want to bring in a case of pacifiers, just pass them around on Sunday morning. Amen. Some fall among thorns. Now, these people are easily influenced. If a person, and I talk about easily influenced, if a person tells me they've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm going to believe them. And I'm going to say they're saved. But those folk, many times, are easily influenced in wrong ways. They never become leaders, but they're real good followers. They can be influenced by the crowd that doesn't go to church. They can be influenced by the worldly crowd. They can be influenced by the Hollywood crowd. Listen to me. Hollywood has never produced a good preacher. Hollywood has never produced a good deacon. Hollywood has never produced a good Sunday school teacher. Hollywood's never produced a good Christian. But yet, look at the influence that Hollywood has on professed Christians today. Now, the first group was influenced by Satan. The second group are those that are influenced by the flesh. But this third group is influenced by the world. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, in his classification of this same parable, he said, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." Now that tells me they're saved. They just don't bear any fruit. But what happens to these folks? The thorns choke them out. Chokes them down. They get choked down with the cares. And this old world's full of that kind of trash. Every day is a new challenge, amen? Cares of this world and riches. Well, preacher, I just don't have time to go to church. I've got to work, amen? I've got to make a living. Well, ring-a-ding-a-ling. How come I hadn't figured that out? We all have to work. We all have to make a living. Well, preacher, you know how it is. I worked all week. Sunday's the only day I have off, and I've got to rest. Oh, I know. Yeah, up on the lake or down on the river. Why is it that every time we come back on vacation, we're exhausted? I thought vacation was supposed to be to rest. Huh? Most folks are exhausted after vacation. Got to go back to work to rest. Everybody still doing okay? I think I done treat a squirrel there, amen? Or a possum or something. Riches. Well, I got to make more money. Got to make more money. And pleasures of this life. Pleasures of this life. That's the group that's influenced by the world. And they never win a soul. Never studied the Bible. Never able to prepare a Sunday school lesson. Never became... Paul got on that real heavy. He said the time ought to come when you ought to be teachers. But he said the truth of the matter is, you still need to be taught. And he just went on to say, he said, because you're babies in Christ. Wow. 2 Timothy 4:10, the same thing that got Demas, the same thing's after you and me. And it's the world. Paul said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Now listen to me. The very same things that Paul and that missionary group fought against, which is the world and worldliness, that's the exact same thing that Demas fell trap to. "Demas hath forsaken me." He's mentioned three times in the New Testament. Each time it's a downward trend. First time Paul mentioned him, he said, "Demas, my fellow servant." Next time he said, "Demas." Then the third and final time, he said, Demas hath forsaken me. Now think about that. Classify yourself. Are you progressing upward? Are you regressing downward? Oh, Demas was a fellow servant to Paul for a long time. But the next time, Paul just mentions him by name. Do you sense that Paul had already begun to recognize that old Demas was letting up just a little bit? Began to miss church every other Sunday? Just kind of coasting along? Old Demas wasn't witnessing like he used to? Every once in a while, old Demas wants to stop at IHOP and eat or something? Amen. iPhone, iPad, IHOP, and all them other hops. Amen. Everybody still awake? The world got him. And I want to tell you something. You better listen. From here to there, we're all subject to that. We're easily distracted. Off out there, there's a world out there. They paint it pretty. Billboards everywhere. But they never show you the end result of their advertisements. Never show you the end result. This bud's for you. But they never take you to Wilbur Mills and show you what's going on over there. They never take you to the rehabs and say, no, you keep fooling with alcohol and drugs, this is where you're going to wind up. No, no, no. Because if they showed the end result first, the forefront would probably be a whole lot better. Wouldn't be near as many folk falling prey to those kind of things. But the world paints a beautiful picture. But the end result is not so beautiful. But stony ground, among the thorns and so forth. But look at this last one here. Some seed will fall on good ground. Verse 8. Other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I don't know if there's something special and significant about this that I'm missing. But Jesus always dealt in even numbers. Not odd numbers. He got ready to send out an entourage. He sent out 70 men. 35 pairs. 2 by 2. Notice here he says, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. 30, 60. He spoke in even numbers. I don't know if there's any significance there or not. I just thought I'd pass along. But what I do detect from this is some folks will work harder than other folks and bring forth more fruit. I need to bring forth more fruit than you do. Why? Because I may have more time than you have. Not necessarily more ability than you have, but some folk have more time and more ability than you have. So you can't outsmart the Lord. He said, when the seed's sown, preacher, he said, some of it's going to fall on good ground. And he said, it's going to germinate. And he said, some folks going to be strong, stalwart Christians, and they're going to witness every day, and they're going to win a lot of folks to the Lord. 100-fold. He said, there'll be some with lesser abilities, but he said, they're going to work, they're going to produce, bring forth fruit. He said, 60-fold. And he said, there'll even be some folks, maybe lack of time, maybe not as skilled, as educated as other folks, but said, they'll bring 30-fold. But he said, if it falls on good ground, they will bring forth fruit. These are the folk, these are the ones that gets the job done. These are the ones that keeps the church going. These are the ones that keeps the job, the church running smoothly. These are the ones who give their offerings and their tithes and offerings. These are the ones that shows up for special services, like funerals. Works in a fellowship hall. Getting everything ready for being nice to a family. Bereavement, and so forth. Many times work behind the scenes. But that seed falls on good ground. And they're productive people. Now, as I begin to wrap it up, it's review time. Amen? Y'all ever like for your teachers to review before class? Before test? Boy, I did. Only I discovered when the test was over, they didn't review enough. Let's review for just a little bit. Talk to myself, and you can listen. When I preach, some will give absolutely no response to it at all. Why? Because Satan steals the preached word. Then some will not be real. They'll be superficial. They let the flesh starve the word. Okay? Then some will be conditional. They fall among thorns. The world will stifle that word and keep it from being productive. And then some will bear fruit. The word will produce fruit. So here's what you have in summary and review here. When I preach, the devil will come along. Some will be stolen. Some will be starved. Some will be stifled. But in summary, I'll wrap it up like this with a question. What kind of a response can God expect out of you? Just how deep are your roots? Are you really anchored? Are you deep-rooted? What would it take to stop you? Somebody once said success is determined by what it takes to stop you. Somebody once said everybody's got their price. I hope I don't ever find what mine is. What would it take to stop you? If I interpret this correctly, only 25% of professed Christians would stick it out down the stretch. Stony ground, thorns, rocky ground, good ground. If I interpret this parable correctly, Jesus is talking to me. He said, you keep on preaching, keep on witnessing, keep on winning. But he said, don't be discouraged if only 25% of professed Christians stick it out down the stretch. I've learned that to be true. Preacher, are you discouraged? Absolutely not. Why? Because I read the book. He's already forewarned me. It's right here in print. Sunday school teachers, are you discouraged? You shouldn't be. Why? Because he's warned you in the book. Bus workers, are you discouraged? Shouldn't be. Why? Because he forewarned us what's going to happen in the last days. Christian school teachers, Christian school workers, are you discouraged? You ought not be. Why? Because he's forewarned us what it's going to be like in the last days. We ought not be discouraged. Why? Because God has prepared us for what's in store in his word. Get in the book. Stay in the book. Keep looking up. He may come today. Amen? Don't be discouraged. Let's stand together. Parable of the sower.